Did you guys get the show notes?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I haven't actually bothered looking at them.
Well,
I'm sure I know what, you know.
I think half the stories were written by you, so you're going to be okay.
I think all of them were.
Actually, maybe, yeah. You're going to be okay.
I didn't write any of these.
If Leander can do it, you can do it.
Oh, yeah.
Hello! Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I wanted to say Mrs. Doubtfire Buster.
Oh,
but
because
I am becoming Mrs. Doubtfire. I'm here with community manager, writer for Cultimag, Buster Heine. Hey, Buster.
Hey.
And John Brownlee, deputy editor of Cultimag, is back on the show. Hey, John.
What's up?
What's going on? I like that energy.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Buster's just like, hey.
It's been a long time. He's on every week.
Like, He's on every week. I know. I got to go into the editing and actually bump his audio when he says, hey, just so people know that he's here. I'm going to bump it like 8 decibels. And, you know, John, I always say this when you're on. I like having you on, and I'm glad to have you back. And we should have you on more often. And people have actually been asking to have you on the show.
Well, are they not getting enough, like, of their stuttering and quotients in an episode?
You know, they like to hear at least 30 or 40 likes per episode. So yeah. Make sure you work those in. Yeah, so it's good to have you back on. And actually, people have been asking us to rotate other writers from Cultimag onto the show, which I would love to do. But some are drier than others. And you know, we got to vet them first. And we had Charlie on, which was great. Charlie Sorrell, Gadgets editor. But the problem that we didn't realize until after the show was that Charlie, since he's in Barcelona, has like a severe delay, not mentally, but via Skype, maybe partially mentally. And when he talks, we couldn't hear him for probably a full second. So, Buster, you were on that show, right?
Yeah.
Didn't it feel like we were interrupting him every time he said something?
Yeah, it was funny.
So I'm a little worried. Yeah, actually, it was great. So anyway.
It's disconcerting than that dead silence. You're like,
yes.
Charlie, what do you think of this? Well, and it's just like.
Well, that's what happens, right? It's like you ask him and then there's like a 2-second silence. So we start to pipe in because we're like, this show's going off the rails. And then all of a sudden, all of his audio floods in. And then we're being jerks because we're constantly doing that in the entire show. So. If anyone hears that happening, now at least you know why. It took me a while to figure that out. Hey, let's start with this, guys. So, as you know, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. And I ask people all the time to contribute comments and questions there. And we got a question from listener James Bartleby. And I was thinking we could help him out. He had a pretty easy question, and I think that we can answer it for him. He says, hey, guys, love the show. Listening to the two most recent episodes now. Okay, so maybe that's why he still loves the show. I have a question. I currently have a first generation iPad, and I'm getting a mini for my birthday, smiley face. My question is, will I be able to restore the mini using the old iPad backup? The concern I have is the difference in iOS version between the two devices. I bet other people are wondering this too. John, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, absolutely. He can restore from any iOS backup. Like, you can restore an iPhone to an iPad mini. Like, it works just fine.
Oh, you can do that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually one of the things I need to do because I set up a bunch of folders on my iPhone, right? And I finally took the time and, you know, organized everything into folders and put all the apps where I wanted them. And now my iPad is the one that is actually really, like, disorganized. So... could I restore my iPhone backup to my iPad, my regular iPad?
Yeah, and it'll bring over like all of the things like saved games from your iPhone to your iPad. I mean, it will, you know, anything on that iPad that isn't on your iPhone will get deleted. But, you know, yeah, you can, I mean, you can restore from anything.
But here's my other question then, because that's kind of what I thought I might do. But, you know, you on your iPhone, you don't have all the iPad apps that you would have on your iPad. So when you move that over, you would have to go back to iTunes and then re-download all the quote-unquote iPad-only apps that you were using before, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is a little bit of fiddling there, but I mean, you can still do it. I mean, it's not that hard. Yeah, it's not that hard at all.
See, I learned something. I think I'm going to actually do that. John, hey, real quick. I can hear some shuffling with your mic.
Okay, so I know why that is.
So FYI, before people revolt from the consistent sound. Let's talk about the Steve Jobs movie you'll actually want to see. I thought this was a joke, but apparently this is true. Funny or Die, one of my favorite websites, although I don't go there nearly often enough, co-founded by Will Ferrell, funny guy Will Ferrell, they're creating their own Steve Jobs movie.
Yeah.
And from what I've read, this is the only one I've seen so far that I actually want to see.
I know, and it sounds pretty funny.
It sounds pretty funny. So, and it's going to be free to watch, right, Buster? Do you know?
Yeah, it will. And so, they got Justin Long is going to be Steve Jobs. And then my favorite is Jorge Garcia, Hurley. From.
Oh, he is? Yeah, it's going to be Woz?
Yeah.
That's great. I didn't know that.
It would be funny if he wasn't Woz, like if he played like Guy Kawasaki.
When I saw the screenshot of Justin Long as Steve Jobs, it was so poorly done. I thought for sure this had to be a joke, right? They're not actually making this. But that's great. So April 15th, this comes out on their website. It's going to be, I read, 60 to 70 minutes long.
Yeah, it took them, I guess it took them 3 days to write it and then 5 days to film it. So
oh my gosh,
it should be like all it. Free.
What'd you say, John?
It's like a Uwe Boll film.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this. And then, of course, you guys heard, in fact, Buster, you might have written about this. So the Ashton Kutcher Steve Jobs film is, is it delayed? Is it put on permanent hiatus or?
No, it was, they don't have enough marketing budget to ramp into it. For its April release. So I think they're pushing it back a couple weeks or months so they can have more budget to market it.
But see, the thing is, if they wait too long, you know, I mean, 2 months isn't that long, but if they wait too long, they're going to be going up against Aaron Sorkin's.
Right.
When's that coming out?
He hasn't even finished writing it, I don't think.
Probably. Yeah, I don't think he has.
And nobody's been set to star in it either, so.
When companies start delaying movie release dates like this, it's because they know they've got a turd on their hands.
Yeah. It's like they're debating, should we try and market it a little bit more, or should we just go straight to DVD and cut our losses?
They should go to the South American youth hostel, like not even release it on DVD, just like sell it to like various Chinese bus companies and stuff. I'm pretty sure that's those are the only people who are actually going to want to watch this thing.
You know, I think they were trying to build buzz, obviously, by going to it was Sundance, right? And
Sundance and Mac
didn't,
World.
And Mac World, it did not get good reviews. And when Woz kind of started slamming it and saying the script was not good, that was when I think it really took a downturn for them. Because it's kind of hard to release an indie film like that and then have people saying how bad it is. And then they released that clip, which I didn't personally think was that great, but I know some people liked. And then the Woz is like, the Woz saying your movie's crap. It's kind of hard to release after that. They're probably like, we need to wait till people forget that Woz said that.
Well, he's so incredibly positive about everything. You know,
actually a great point. He is. He is like so positive about anything, even things that are crap. He thinks are great.
Yeah, like if he thinks it's bad, this is the worst movie. You know, this is the next Robot Monster or something. Like it's just gotta be absolute dreck.
It's gonna be totally terrible. Oh gosh. Well, anyway, so April 15th, keep your eyes on Funny or Die. And while you're there, make sure you watch Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, specifically the one where he's talking to Natalie Portman. Oh my gosh. Oh, actually, the one when he was talking to Ben Stiller was also really awesome. Have you seen those, John?
I have. I don't think I've seen either of those two, though. I think I've only seen a handful of them.
Oh, my gosh. You got to check them out. Hey, so people have been asking us to talk about the new Samsung phone, Galaxy S4. They had a huge event, and it's fortuitous that you're on today, John, because I think you know the most about it. And, you know, we don't normally talk about Android phones on our show for good reason, but I think this one is definitely relevant to the Apple world because a lot of people are comparing it to the iPhone 5, and people are like, I saw one guy write, is this the iPhone 5 killer? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. He did not write that headline. That headline has been so overused. And I was like, all right, it's your career. Use it if you'd like.
I can also tell you, like, firsthand that anybody who was actually at the launch event would never have written that headline.
Okay, so there's kind of two stories here, right? There's the phone itself, but then there's also the actual press event, which I heard, if for those who have been listening for a while, I heard it was as bad as the Qualcomm CES event where they had like the gamer there talking about how he's such a gamer and he likes boobs. And John, you were actually at the Samsung event. Set the scene for us. What was it like there?
Okay,
awful was it? was it really?
Okay, well, I don't think it was Qualcomm awful. Like, Qualcomm had this, like, you know, I mean, that was Qualcomm was just a delight, whereas kind of, like, I mean, it was delightfully, like, clueless and pointless and stupid. But, like, the Samsung event, like, I mean, to set the stage, you kind of have to imagine, like, the worst organized event you have ever seen in your life. Like, so, it was all set in the Radio City Music Hall in New York. And just imagine complete pandemonium outside, like up until 30 seconds before this event is supposed to start, with just like throngs of people just kind of like trying to crush into the entrances and like just completely out of their minds, Samsung employees trying to figure out who's allowed in and who isn't.
Wow, like, so it was really crowded.
It was really crowded. It wasn't. That's the thing. It wasn't crowded. It was like the theater was actually kind of like partially empty.
Uh-huh.
But because it's a big theater, but it was so badly organized that they couldn't even get people through the doors. Like they just so you get in there, and then they just put on this like really sappy, just kind of groansome show where you're just like the whole time you're just kind of face palming yourself because it was so boring and so pointless, like and like really like sexist and you know. Like,
oh, really? Yeah, they went there.
No, like at one point, like you know, like it was so tenured. Like for example, you know, I mean, Samsung spends a lot of money, and like. And they had some cool features. Like, for example, one of the features they showed off was they're like, oh, okay, well, you can read – you can swipe between pages on an article you're reading just by waving your hand in front of the screen. You don't actually right. have to touch it.
Yeah.
And so this perpetual refrain at this event was kind of like they'd show a feature and the audience would kind of be like, huh – and they didn't really understand what the point of that feature was. And then the host would actually say out loud, that seems like it might be interesting, but what would you use it for? And then Samsung would show you it because its use was not self-evident.
Right.
So in this case, this one case where you could, change tracks or change pages just by, you know, with a gesture, they brought on like these five just awful like – shrews of women like, and they're like, oh, I love this feature of Samsung. Like they're having like this kind of like Sex in the City wine party and they're just like shrieking and they're like, show me the rock, and you know, like they're showing each other engagement rings. And
oh my
then they
gosh.
All start like, I love this Samsung feature because if I have my nails freshly manicured, I don't like to touch the screen, or you know, or what if I'm cooking dinner, you know. And it's really
right.
Like, yeah, like unbelievably, and like everybody's just kind of getting like just angry and offended. It's just really bad.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, they showed a lot of talking about the features that you mentioned. There was a lot of features that kind of seemed, I don't want to say wacky. Maybe it's just because they're so new that maybe we don't understand them yet. Like the swipe over the actual phone feature where it would track your finger and you can move pages. There was one where it would like your eyes would actually be what it tracks, so your pages would scroll. When you're looking at the phone, some of them seemed really gimmicky to me. Were there any that they showed off that just seemed absolutely ridiculous? And then maybe one that you're like, oh, that is actually pretty cool.
I did like some of the, like some of the functionality, like I can see the gesture one being useful in certain, like if I'm cooking, for example, with my phone.
And the gesture one is?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, the gesture one. What is that?
The gesture one is the one where you like wave your hand in front of the phone and you can interact with it through like Kinect style gestures.
Oh, so it's like you're hovering your finger like in the air above the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's kind of cool. I can see that being useful in certain circumstances. But for the most part, like everything that Samsung showed off was kind of like better. It's not really a smartphone feature. It's an app idea. So like they'd show you really, you know, they'd just be like, oh, and you can take pictures with your front camera and your back camera at the same time and then put yourself into the picture. And you're kind of like, oh, okay, you know, I guess I could see like one or two circumstances where that might be useful.
Right.
But if I want to do that, I'll just download an app for it. And that's the thing, like Samsung has like no – like they're a powerhouse when it comes to like, you know, making cutting-edge phones that have the best, you know, the highest horsepower, the fastest, like, and, you know, in that regard, the Galaxy S4 is, like, a really incredible phone, but they're not good at software or integrating features into their phone, or, you know, and so a lot of this stuff just kind of, it kind of feels like weird little engineering experiments, you know, and if at an Apple event, like, Apple would show you a new feature and you would, even without them explaining it, understand what it was for and why you would want that.
And you'd be like, wow, that's actually useful. That's something I would actually use. When I see Samsung announce new features and they're using Android, it kind of reminds me of the PC days where HP was building these really, I don't want to say cool, but different PCs, and they would add all these different features software-wise, but they were still building it on a Windows platform, right? So no matter how many cool features they tried to work in, their computer was still very similar to the Sony notebooks or any of the other manufacturers that made PCs, because they're all using the same software platform to build their product. So even when I see Samsung add features now, I'm like, okay, well, that's cool, but it doesn't seem like they're able to do anything really revolutionary with their device because they're not in control. They're not in total control of the software platform and the hardware platform.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's true to an extent. I also just don't think that they're as imaginative as Apple. Like, there's, I mean, you know, if you look at like when Apple introduces new features, like, you know, they tend to think pretty hard about them, like Siri, for example. You know, Samsung will introduce features and then just kind of drop them. Like, remember when Samsung launched S-Voice? No one ever talks about
what
that.
What is S-Voice? I don't even know what the heck that is.
It's supposed to kind of be like Siri.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but nobody uses it. Samsung doesn't keep it updated. Like, you know, it's...
that's really funny.
Kind of threw it at the wall and,
nobody wants it? Okay.
Oh, all right. Next
cool. Next thing.
Waving gestures.
Hey, have you guys heard about snapping dual photos?
Yeah, that one just seems so stupid.
But that's like... I think that's like throwing that at the wall is like a really good way of describing it. Because like Apple is very targeted. Whereas Samsung just throws everything at the wall and sees what sticks, like, and most of it doesn't. So we'll never hear about most of the features that they introduced today in like probably like even like 3 or 4 months. People will just be kind of like, oh, okay, you know, well, they tried that and no one wants it, so you know. But I mean, I think that's Samsung's design philosophy. Like, they come from one of these like major kind of, you know, this major like Korean electronics house, and through most of their history, what they have done is they have just sort of like, oh, okay, well, cell phones or radios are big now. And then they would kind of just go through and release like thousands of different models of radios with or cell phones or whatever with very slightly different specs and very slightly different features. And Sony does it the same way. And these companies have had a really hard time competing with Apple simply because Apple is so targeted. Like, you know, you can't really do business anymore by, you know, releasing like 1,000 products with, you know, brand names like the TXI 450HQ. Like,
oh, I love that chip. they're going to be putting that chip in there. Oh, dude, I'm switching. iPhone killer.
Yeah, wait.
let me read you guys this. So I pinged our Facebook page. We always get a lot of interaction on our Facebook page when we ask questions like this. So thanks for everyone who contributed their thoughts. I asked people if there were any Galaxy S4 features that they really wanted the next iPhone to have. And everyone actually kind of had the same sentiment. I want to read you this one comment from Eric Sarnstrom. He says, I love my iPhone. I just hope we see some changes to iOS. Nothing specific in mind. I was hoping that Apple would come up with something completely new for smartphones. Samsung can keep all their gimmicky features for themselves. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know why I'm changing his words into my own. That's just what I do. I'm sorry, Eric. I just took your phrase and changed it into my own words. So I'm not quoting Eric any longer. A lot of people also, though, wanted larger screens and then totally drastically new iOS. You know, as gimmicky as the features were for the Galaxy S4, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm kind of getting to that point too where I love iOS and I'm really happy with it, but I would love to see Apple do something really drastically different with it and really change it a lot, because it's kind of been similar for many, many years. What? I mean, the original iPhone came out in what, 2001?
2007.
I mean, 2007. Yes, I was thinking the iPod. Sorry.
Pretty close.
Clay, hey, close enough for this show. 2007, and it has been relatively the same, at least stylistically speaking, that entire time. And then I'm also hoping for a bigger screen iPhone. John, do you think that we'll ever see a larger screen iPhone that's not like the iPhone 5, right? You know, maybe it's a shrunk down iPad mini, but something that could fit in your pocket, a flablet, if you will.
A flablet. I don't know. You know, I go back and forth on this because, you know, I used to think that that was just ridiculous and that that would never happen. Mm-hmm. But one of my friends recently opted to get a Galaxy Note 2, and I just said to him, like, why are you doing that? And he's like, I don't use my phone as a phone anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. Like, I use it to read. I use it to look at the web. I use it to check Twitter. I use it to do pretty much everything except talk on the phone.
Yeah, you actually, now hearing you say that, that's very true for me, too. Or when I am talking, I have a headset on.
Yeah, so he's kind of like, so, yeah, yes, this is bigger, but if you think of it as, like, a pocketable tablet with an always-on internet connection, you know, this is the device I really want. And, you know, the iPad mini is great, but it's not pocketable. And, you know,
well, if you wear like those big skater pants, you could keep it in your pocket. No problem.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. If you're like have some MC Hammer pants or something. Yeah. Like, but for us regular human beings, it's not really pocketable. And
yeah.
I, you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, it does seem a little redundant to me. And it's another, it's not exactly, you know, clear to me how, if Apple would bother doing it. I mean, you know, cause you can always get an iPad mini with, you know, with a 3G card and stuff like that. But I do see the point. Like, you know, when I was holding the Galaxy S4, I was just kind of like, you know, this is a really nice experience for, I mean, it's not a nice experience if I'm thinking about it just from the perspective of holding up to my head for a phone call, mm-hmm. but from every other like perspective, like this is a comfortable screen size. You know, and it's not completely absurd once you get past the idea of, but you know, how am I, you know, won't I look stupid holding that up to my head?
Yeah, I don't really ever think about that. I'm going to look stupid no matter what. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'll just use this, hold it up to my head. Let's talk about the iPad mini for a moment since we're talking about it anyway. And I clicked on the Cultamax site. And am I missing something here? This is really like, there's like, it's like super branded right now.
What?
There's like a freaking game branding on both sides of the website.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's new. Oh. That's a first for us. Yeah.
No, it's not a first. We do that all the time.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I just always have my things so small, I never see them.
Oh well, I'm definitely not using Adblock, so that's not why I wouldn't see it. Hey, so anyway, about the iPad Mini, that really threw me off. There's rumor out there, John, you actually wrote this article, Apple's not going to give us the Retina iPad Mini this spring because the low-res model is still selling like crazy. Please tell me you're a dirty liar and I should hang up on you right now.
Why would they release – I mean, it never made any sense that they were going to release it in spring. Like, you know, people think that we're like, oh, it's going to come in spring because – Apple updated the iPad line like 8 months. They came out with the fourth gen iPad like 8 months after they came out with the third gen iPad, right? But
right.
You know, from the perspective of an end user, like or not an end user, like from the perspective of your average consumer, those products are identical. Like, you know, they have a different connector. One has a slightly faster processor, and that's it. You know, most people couldn't tell the difference between those models. A Retina iPad Mini is going to be much different than, you know, a current iPad Mini. Like, that's a headlining feature. And, you know, Apple has no reason to release it 6 months, you know, 6 months after they released the first iPad Mini. Like, the reason Apple broke their annual product cycle for the iPad was simply because they wanted to have everything – every iOS device that they were selling at that point using Lightning,
right? Yeah,
you know, they didn't want to keep the 30, like the one exception, keep a 30 pin dock connector around. So you're not, you know, it's just, you're just not going to see an iPad, like a new iPad, until the end, you know, closer to the end of the year.
So
like,
you're right saying that when they release it, it's gonna, when they release a new one, it's gonna have Retina, but it's also gonna have a lot of other big features or cool features that will make you want to buy a whole new different iPad.
Well, I think the Retina will just be the major feature. Like, you know, I don't think there's going to be like a major case redesign or anything like that. I mean, I think it'll just kind of be like, oh, okay, well, the iPad Mini has Retina, and that's enough. Like, I mean, the one thing that makes the iPad Mini, like, that knocks it down in my view is the fact that it doesn't have a Retina display.
Me too. It is the one thing. I held that device for the first time right when it came out, and I felt like a new father. I was holding that thing. I was making goo goo gaga noises as it was in my arms. It's beautiful, and I wanted one really bad. But the only thing that stopped me from buying it was the fact that it doesn't have Retina. At least for me, it was very noticeable going from my iPhone, from my Retina display iPad. Using something that doesn't have Retina display is a huge downgrade.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's really jarring the first time you see it. But like, I mean, you can get used to it. And if you're coming from something like an iPad 2, it's actually a step up because it's got a higher PPI. But like, yeah, that's the one thing. Like, I actually think that might be the best design thing Apple's ever, like, ever released. Like, I think it's a better designed, like, has a better design than the iPhone 5. Like, I think it's just a beautiful device.
It really is. It looks like a jewel.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's exactly what I want in a tablet.
Mm-hmm, me too.
The only thing is that f***ing display.
Hey, cuss word. Let me see. We're 38 minutes in. You got soccer moms. Where's my notepad? Gosh, it's been so long since I had to bleep one of those out. And we invite John back on.
Everyone's seriously upset right now.
No, I'm not.
Last time I was on, I was told I could swear to my heart's content. So
who told you that, Leander?
You did. First time I was on,
it wasn't me.
Geez, like a profanity laced hip hop style roll call of all of our enemies.
I prefer you. You really swear a lot. Try to make up new creative uses for your swear words too. No, I hear about it. I hear about it. When there's swear words, I hear about it. So now I got to bleep them out.
I'm sorry to our Quaker contingent.
Well, they've forgiven you because they're Quakers and that's what they do. You know, kind of off topic. Well, maybe on topic for this conversation. I honestly don't know where they could take the iPad from here. I feel like it's been kind of perfected in a way. It's so thin already. It's the right size. I don't know what other features could they add to this. What other things would you guys want to see them add to this that would make it better? I honestly couldn't tell you. Toss a Retina display into the iPad Mini. And I'm with you, John. I think it might be the best device they've ever made.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like what's going to happen is I mean I don't really see it either, and I think that's part of the I don't really see how they're going to continue to make the iPad and the iPad Mini better indefinitely. Like, I think that's actually why Apple stopped calling it like the iPad 3 or the iPad 4 and just started calling it the iPad. Like, other products that don't have revolutionary changes to them every year, like the Mac MacBook or the iMac or whatever. Because I think that, you know, with a phone, which is a device that's like always in your pocket and is kind of like your companion no matter where you go, there's all sorts of new things they can kind of put in, like new sensors, you know, that are useful. Like, you know, I mean, NFC to pay for as a card, or they could build a really good...
I'm dying for NFC. Oh, man. Can't wait for NFC to get to the U.S. and then to a phone where I can use it.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to happen. But I mean, you know, they could do that. Or they could, like, imagine if your iPhone without anything else, like, you know, functioned like a Jawbone up. You know, I mean, there's no reason it can't. So there's always things that they can do to increase the functionality of a device that you're constantly carrying with you. But for tablets, I think that, you know, a tablet is something you're it's not going to always be with you. It's something you're going to bring along in certain circumstances. And it's not always going to be on your body like a phone is. Like, it's going to be in your bag or whatever. So, and it's too large to effortlessly pull out in every circumstance. So I don't really – I think that what we're going to see is – you know, like, I think we're going to see the advances in the iPad and the iPad mini kind of calming down. Like, I think we're going to start, you know, like, they'll have processor upgrades and power upgrades, but you're not going to see revolutionary new changes every year or even necessarily every 2 years. I think it's going to be much more like a MacBook or
a MacBook Pro, right? I mean, they go years just updating those things.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to come down. They're going to come down to like kind of a perfect form factor, which I think is going to be the Retina iPad Mini and the fifth generation iPad, which is shaped like an iPad Mini and which will be thinner and lighter. And I think they're kind of going to ride that out for at least a couple of years. That's my feeling.
I think you might be right. I want to continue this conversation, and I want to talk about the why iPhone section of Apple's website. It's been really strange. I've been reading through it and I'm kind of wondering if it is a reaction to all the new devices in the marketplace. But before we do that, I just want to thank everyone. I was looking at our iTunes reviews for Cultcast on iTunes, and a lot of you guys have gone out of your way to leave us a review. So I just want to say thank you. John, did you know that we have a 4.5 star rating with 375 reviews in the U.S. iTunes store?
What? No.
Hard to fathom, I know.
This is the most famous thing I've ever been involved in.
Now, there are some people that left us 1 stars, which if I ever meet in person, I will punch them. There's a few that left us 2 and 3 stars. Those are probably deserved. Several that left us 4 stars. This show has never been 1 star. 2, 3, maybe.
I'll accept that.
But I want to read at least one review. I promised people that I would do this. I said if you went and left us a review on iTunes, I will try to read you. I will try to read some of them on the show. So let's just pick one here. Maybe I should pick a good one and not a bad one. Let's go with this one. This one is from Alexander Sitbon. And his title is "The Force is Strong with These Ones." I like that. he must have cut our Star Wars episode. A year ago, when I played the Cultcast's first release, I heard a dude say, "Hello and welcome to the Cultcast," with a Soto Surfer accent. And then an Englishman came in. And then another of their friends, I'm assuming they mean Buster, whom could let you believe by the tone of his voice, he is not particularly excited to be there.
Hello, are they talking about me?
But is actually a true fanboy. It ended good. Exactly. Hey, they could have been talking about Alex Excelsior. You never know.
I think they were talking about Alex.
Probably.
Who's Alex Excelsior?
Alex Excelsior Heath.
Oh. Okay.
That's what we call him on this show.
Well, at least you're not calling him Alex Bazinga.
Then we, as often as possible, we try to work in a conversation about him getting butt probed on friggin' aliens. Let me finish this. So, suffice it to say, I was hooked. Irfan, Leander, and Buster. Oh, they were talking about you, Buster. Do an amazing job on the show, rounding up Apple News on a weekly basis. Over the 12 months, the show has grown to become a well-crafted production. Whoa. Even Woz was on the show, and it was funnier than ever. It's entertaining even during the sponsor breaks, and to the mix, a pinch of Star Wars and superhero talk, and occasionally Erfan picking up a British accent. Hello, Governor. That was his words, not mine. And you have the recipe for a magic podcast. One more thing to new subscribers. Make sure you stay to the very end of the recording. You'll have a blast. That's actually a good tip. I wonder how many people out there don't actually stay to the very end, because there's almost always a secret track at the very end. You guys wouldn't know that because you don't listen, do you, Buster?
I would never know. Yeah.
You did not know about the secret tracks at the end. So
secret tracks.
It's usually Leander saying something incredibly offensive, but we put those in at the end. So thank you, Alexander. If you like this show and would like to leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. Those really help us a lot, and it actually makes iTunes kind of perk up and recognize that people are listening to this show. So if you like it, we would really appreciate that. If you hate this show and want to leave it a 1-star review, just head on over. Our cult cast is called The Verge on iTunes, and you can leave it right on that page right there. There's a big V. It looks like it's floating in space, and that's going to be where you'll want to leave that. let's move on. I want to talk about this Why iPhone section of Apple's website. So we should probably explain it first. Who wants to do that, Buster or John?
Let John do it.
John, go for it.
I actually don't know all that much about it. So, Buster, you go for it.
That's why, because I haven't even looked at it.
You guys haven't even looked at it? Okay, well, let me describe it to you since I actually looked at it. So Apple created this entire section on their site that is basically proselytizing why people like the iPhone, right? And it has all these different apps, and it goes through section by section. It shows you people like it because the screen's big. People like it because it's the only phone out there with a Retina display. People like it because it gets a lot of battery life but doesn't have a big battery. You know, like lots of clever Apple-isms all over the place telling you about why the world loves iPhone 5. I thought it was really strange. I know I'm not the only one, that all of a sudden Apple has this whole section dedicated to telling you why there's nothing like the iPhone 5. And I'm kind of curious if it's because of the new Samsung Galaxy phones and the other great Android phones out there. Do you think Apple's finally at a point, and I am getting to a point here, where...
Forever.
I know. Well, you know, it's me. Do you think they're finally at a point now where they actually have to worry about other handsets in the market, like Android devices and the like, kind of stealing some of their customers? You know, and so they might be worried that people might actually choose an Android device over an iPhone.
Yeah, I think that's kind of obvious from all that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at the S3; it sold a ton, a million of copies. Mm-hmm. So that was a really successful handset. I think people like be curious, like because it's so popular. Oh, I just want to go try it out. I don't think it's better than the iPhone, but Samsung's gotten good.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that I mean, Apple's always been worried about whether people are going to, buy the iPhone or not. I mean, like, I mean, they're a business. Like, they're in the market of like selling their products to people. So, you know, I don't really find anything to be. I don't know. I think a lot of people are very upset about this. Almost as if it's beneath Apple's dignity to talk about how good they're – like about to take pot shots at other people and other companies and to try to convince people who might be on the fence. And, you know, I don't necessarily see that perspective on it. Like I think that, Apple is – I mean this is just kind of classic marketing. And I've the page doesn't sound that offensive to me. It sounds, you know, kind of like standard marketing stuff.
Right.
And, you know,
they're not even talking about Android handsets or anything like that. It's more bragging about Apple. But
I mean, they're not. But I feel like they kind of are. You know, like they're not saying anything about Android. But why else would you put that there? I mean, to convince people that you're like there are a lot of Android phones out there, but ours is the only one that does all these great things.
Well, you know, you never know what the origin on stuff like this is. Like, I mean, it could be that they, you know, had brought their they showed their iPhone website to like a focus group or a study, you know, focus group, and they looked at it and there was a lot of questions about like how the product, I mean, differentiates itself from the competition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Apple has a you know, Apple kind of has a unwritten rule that it doesn't refer to the competition by name. And so, you know, kind of this is the result of what of, you know, that might be this might be the result of that focus group where they're like, OK, well, we need something that kind of talks about how the iPhone, you know, blows the competition out of the water. Mm-hmm. But we don't actually want to, you know, recognize these guys by name. And actually, if you think about it, like Samsung does nothing but do advertisements that are like kind of call out the iPhone by name and the Apple by name and talk about how bad their products are compared to Apple. And Apple's response to this is just silence.
Yeah, that's where it gets tough.
Yeah, and so if you're a customer and you don't know anything about like Samsung or Apple, and you're just watching TV, and one of the ads is talking about how terrible the iPhone is compared to the Galaxy S4, and then the iPhone ad is just like, and we're the iPhone. Like, and it's not, you know.
yep, I mean, that's us.
You know, I can kind of see the dilemma they're in. I don't think it's like a panicked reaction to market share. Like, I mean, you know, Apple is doing with the iPhone by their standard of success, anything where they're making, you know, industry-leading profit margins on products is kind of, you know, a success. So, I mean, they're making tons of money on the iPhone. It's not about a percentage for them, you know, and like they're making a lot more money on the iPhone than Samsung is making on the Galaxy S4, you know. So, and that's including the fact that when Samsung builds a Galaxy S4, they're their own supplier for a bunch of the components, so that money goes right back into their pocket. But Apple's still kind of doing a better job making money off of this than Samsung is. So, you know, I think that I don't think they're panicked, but I think that they are trying to put forward a narrative to customers without, you know, on why their product is better than the competition without necessarily like referencing that competition by name.
I guess in my mind, the reason I think this is weird is because, and maybe I'm deluding myself, I don't think that normal people buy the Samsung Galaxy phones. Am I wrong? I feel like it's a really awesome device. Guys like us would really be able to utilize it because we're kind of technology savvy. We would figure out how to get our music onto it. We would figure out, you know, all the cool features that it has and actually be able to utilize them. But normal everyday people might use something like the Samsung Galaxy S4, and they're going to be confused by it. They're not going to understand how its apps work. They're not going to understand how to put music onto it. They're not going to understand how to use the phone to its fullest.
I disagree with that completely.
Well, that's fine.
I have friends that have bought the S3 and they love it. Like, and I mean, they're not tech people, but they're also not morons with their phone, you know?
Well, they're not morons, but like your mom.
My mom would do just fine. That's
you think
the thing.
So?
It's like, I think like Samsung has gotten so much closer. Well, yeah. They also have Android, you know, that Google's working on everything. So, like, it's not a huge divide anymore, I don't think.
Mm. Well, and also the fact of the matter is that, like, if you walk into a store and if you're not tech savvy, you see this one phone with this, like, I mean, if you've ever seen a Galaxy S4, like, the display is inferior to the iPhone's display for various reasons, but they do such a good job of compensating for that, that what you see is you see this one phone that has this big, beautiful, colorful display, and then you see an iPhone display next to it, and it's much smaller, and, the colors look comparatively washed out because they're not oversaturated, which is what Samsung does.
Right.
And if you're just looking at the screen, like they're going to be people like, oh, this looks so much better. Like, look at how pretty these images on it. This is the phone I want.
Right.
If they don't know anything else, they'll just go buy the displays. And I think that there are.
I think that literally used to be what I did. Ooh, this one's nice. Look at those icons.
I think more people make purchases based upon things like that.
Oh, dude, totally. That's why they spend so much time working on wine bottle labels, right? Because most people go in there and they're like, which label do I like the best? And that's the bottle of wine they buy.
That's kind of
eye candy, right? Exactly. Because how else are you supposed to know what the hell to buy? It's like there's like 1,000 models in there. You're like, ooh, that one has a dog. I like dogs. Ooh, look, the dog's wearing a clown nose. That's cute. That must be good wine. Clown knows wine. That's
oh, Aerosmith endorses this.
Yeah. Oh, right. Wow, this is the one that Steven Tyler likes. Oh. That's incredible. It has like little streamers tied to the top, like he does with his microphones. That actually is genius marketing right there. You know, like when Aerosmith has a concert and Steven Tyler ties all those like scarves to his microphone stand. You guys don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you're talking about. Sorry.
So they sold a bottle of wine with those streamers coming off the top.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
They would make a fortune. Come up with a catchy title.
Oh, I thought you were saying they do.
No, I'm saying they should.
No, they shouldn't.
That's the bottle I'm going to buy. Hey, let's wrap up with this. This is hot off the press. H-A-W-T. Somebody actually just tweeted at me. Blake Hawksworth just tweeted at me just now, and he said, Airfon, have you already recorded this week's Cultcast? If not, mention the new podcast app update. You got it, Blake. As you know, well, maybe some of you know, I am a huge fan of Apple's podcast app. Yes, I am willing to admit that. You know, it's surprising to me how many people hate it. I think it has a 1.5-star review in the App Store. People don't just dislike the podcasts app. They loathe it. They hate it. And I guess it got some update today, and they just added a bunch of new features. Buster, do you actually know anything about this?
Yeah, I was about to write an article.
Well, tell me what you know, dude.
They took away the skeuomorphic design of those two reels.
No.
Yeah, so that's gone.
Dude, I loved that.
Yeah.
I'm updating it right at this moment. I'm installing it. Keep
going.
And
then you get custom stations, on-the-go playlists. Everything else is the same. But yeah, that's the big change, is they took out those that...
You're joking.
Wow, that's a big change.
Dude, that's the one part about that app that I actually really liked.
Oh, that's why you like that app?
Well, no, it's not why I liked it, but it's one of the things about it that I liked.
It's like that, all that detail in the background, it's so superfluous to like how you understand podcasts. It's not like podcasts were ever like binary. You never, you know...
This is hilarious.
Touch them.
Here's my question.
Not binary. I'm sorry. Analog.
Here's my question. Is this Apple reacting to like the skeuomorphic outcry, or is this John Ive's like first?
That's actually what I was just thinking. Position? Yeah, like, this could be the first influence over apps that we see from Johnny Ive and the departure of what's his face, Scott Forstall.
I mean, it may be. I don't know. I mean, those reels were just really so bad, though. Like, there's like Apple gets like complaints about like the leather with the stitching, and you know the felt tables at the game center. But to me, like those reels were just completely superfluous.
They were. I'll concur with you on that one. But I did like them. Wow, this app looks good now.
The stitching is so much worse than the reels, though.
You think so?
Yeah, it's oh man, it's hideous.
Yeah, I mean, it's ugly. I think it
looked pretty fugly. Yeah, ugly.
I just felt like from like a UI standpoint, the reels were worse.
I guarantee you that the reason that they had to do this was just because like it's got to be extremely embarrassing for Apple to have a 1.5-star app store.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, like, right.
And if everybody's just whining about this one thing, then let's just get rid of it, and then you know, like have the 4.5-star review that we deserve, kind of thing.
Right.
Well, was this update also? Did it also feature a lot of bug fixes, Buster? Because I know that was a lot of people.
It didn't come with a ton of bug fixes, but yeah, it had some. But okay. It had a couple other features alongside of it.
I feel somewhat guilty because in my Cult of Mac post promoting Cultcast, I always write, "You can always easily stream the Cultcast in Apple's podcast app," and I link to it. And I used to call it Apple's great podcast app. And I changed that word to free. After I saw that it had a 1.5-star review, I'm like, hey, it's free, right? And it's easy to use. So there you go. All right, guys. Well, I think that's all the time we got this show. John, thanks for coming on. We're going to have you on again really soon.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Promises.
First, for really, though. And you know who else I was thinking we could have on? The Steve. get the Steve on here.
I love Steve.
Our 12-year-old Cult of Mac writer.
He's like more talented than I am, like at twice his age.
Yeah, but that's it. That's all the cult cast we've got for you this week. Hey, you know what you could do? You could follow us on Twitter. We have great conversations with all of our cult cast listeners there. And look what you can do. You can literally influence the course of the show. If you want to do that, go follow Buster. His tweets are the nicest in the land. He's just BST3R. John is Dr. Crypt. That's DrCrypt. Did I get that, John?
You did.
I'm at Erfon. That's just ERFON. And of course, for all the best news reviews in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. And hey, go say hi to us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. You can suggest topics and ask questions to us there. Alrighty, that's it. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thanks for those iTunes reviews. And we will see you guys next time. John, can you send us out with a bird sound?
I can shake the cage or something.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Just go over there and shake the bird cage.
All right. Say something.
Oh! Was that them?
No, this is me trying to.
Oh.
Oh, no. What's up?
Serp.
You're so hot.
It's so hot in Phoenix. How tan is your head right now?
Dude, yeah, I went through my first round of peeling, you know.
On your skull?
Yeah. I usually get sunburned at least, like really bad, at least once, maybe twice.
So what SPF do you have to put on that beautiful bald noggin of yours?
That's my problem, is a lot of times I'll forget to, and you won't think that you're going out and going to get a sunburn, and then, you know, you spend more time outside than you thought you would.
Oh, that would hurt so bad.
It sucks, especially taking showers.
Oh.
it's like a super headache plus the sunburn. Stuff plus the hot water. It's like, ooh.
Do you have to wear one of those like plastic hairnets?
The swim cap,
like a Speedo cap.
Yeah,
dude, that hurts so bad.